Off the ball. Rugby.
Come off it, yeah. I think it's as low as you can get. Like, I thought that was as bad as it gets in terms of trying to claim this, you know, you're humble and no dickheads and all this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 45 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. Now, this week for members, we're going to focus on Sunday's action at Tipperary, a mixture of flat and jumps action. Johnny Ward, how are you doing?
I'm very well, JD. I'm very well.
How was your week?
The week has been fine. I was in Sligo Races on Wednesday, which was a student day, and thoughts of a student day can maybe prompt thoughts in one's head of, like, you know, madness and...
The word messy.
Messy. And there is a kind of an element of middle-aged man giving out about things. But, like, at the same time, I've been at some student days. My first student day was 2003, I think, the year Back in Front won the Supreme, because he won at Limerick that day. And I was just getting into racing, and he won at odds of 4 to 11 or something like that under, I think, Norman Williamson rode him in the Magna colours. That day, I was brought to a student day, and it was like, it was very, very relaxed, and there weren't that many there, and it just took off in the student days. And we've seen at some of the meetings where they're very, very drunken. Like, the students almost turn up drunk for a meeting that starts at, say, 2 o'clock. Sligo wasn't like that at all. I got the train from Dublin, and some of the students got on the train, but some, like, the students would come up to you looking for, like, what'll win the next race. There was a horse called One Night Standard, and it was up on some of the boards as One Night Stand. So, like, lots of students were having a bit of a laugh about that. Tenner on One Night Stand, please. And a lot of them were having bets. Like, they were having a fiver each way, a tenner each way. And from what I could see, really well behaved. And really,
maybe they've matured, the students.
Maybe they've matured. Maybe it's a Western thing. Maybe it's the students in Sligo are very laid back. Sligo's just great.
Kathy McNamee is our producer of the Racing Pod, and she is from Sligo, and she just says Sligo's the best.
Sligo's great. And I think it's different as well. If you go to a small kind of college in a rural town, it's different to going to the bigger ones. But I got the feeling that, like, this was really, it was enjoyable to be there. And there was kind of footage of the horses, like, going down to the start in one of the later races, and the stand looked packed. I think that makes a massive difference in racing. And even when the horses were passing the stands, like, there was a big roar, and it was just a lovely day out. So I'm in Killarney then on Sunday and Monday as well, and been enjoying the football as well. So it's been a good week.
I want to walk Benbulbin, so I think I'm going to combine maybe Sligo Races, Drumcliff and Benbulbin in one go.
And there's Knocknarea as well, and then you can go out to, like, Strandhill, Ross's Point. The town itself is a great town. And there's one more meeting this month, the end of the month for 2024, I think, if you wanted to do it this year. I think there's one at the end of the month. The other thing was, it was a lovely day, like, just got the weather.
You're selling it well, Johnny, you're selling it well.
Good weather. And a slight, like, it's... God knows, like, I've been at enough meetings this year at bigger tracks where there's no one there and it's soulless and, like, there's literally no atmosphere. And thankfully, between, say, Laytown, that we were both at, we had a great day there. Obviously, Laytown's unique, but Bellewstown, Wexford as well, even. Ballinrobe, obviously, pretty much every time you're there. And Sligo, they're the meetings that I've been at in the last few months that I've really enjoyed. And there's been a good vibe there, good atmosphere, and good buzz in the betting ring. Like, and that's what you want on the stole as well, which... I mean, it's a bit of a low onto itself. The stroll was great crack.
Okay, this is what happened last week on the Racing Pod. Okay, Johnny, McMahon and Double J, what is your selection then for the free-to-air section of this segment?
Apples and Bananas for me is very solid in an ordinary mule up at Goff's Million.
Okay, that is the pick for Johnny's McMahon and Double J. I'm going to go through it here and give you one for... let me see. I'm going to go with Leg Victoria in the Cheveley Park Stakes.
If you were to back those horses when we recorded, you'd have gotten 5-2, and maybe
it's just under 8-1.
Yeah,
the double just under 8-1.
at the like. In fairness, Lake Victoria was well back, but yeah, I was recording.
The double doesn't come off. We've tipped a lot of winners in the members section, maybe individual winners, but the double doesn't come off that often.
Yeah, like to be fair, they were well two favourites, sure, give or take. But like Apples and Bananas end up being 5-2, had to survive a Shores inquiry. But yeah, like that was good to come off. And my nap this week is going to be round about the 6-1 chance, but I'm not sure yours might be in the same race. So let's see. But
yeah,
we'll promote it going forward because doubles are great bets. I mean, most of the time, obviously, they're not going to come off, but when they do, it's good fun.
Yeah, look, folks, we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but we are putting in the work here and we want to do the best for you. So it's all about the Arc this weekend. I'd love to be there. You'd love to be there, but we're not. Maybe next year we will be. Longchamp on Sunday, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe.
I heard your pronunciation of French on the... I was on with Andre Gilligan yesterday and you were on just before it, given. Yeah, so very impressive.
You were talking about the fund for racing.
Yeah, because the fund has gone up. Yeah, I know I'm not going on a bit of segue here, but... there was somebody from the Greyhound fraternity got on to me this morning and he wasn't overly happy with my slant on Greyhound racing. Now, I would like to point out, I am a fan of Greyhound racing, but in relative to the horse racing fund, it's kind of nuts.
Greyhound racing, though, as an industry, needs to get better at their PR if they want to defend what they're talking about.
It does, but like the biggest problem for me, JD, is like the betting ring is dead. Like the crack with going to the dogs was how... And Greyhound racing has gotten an awful lot better at welfare, like where dogs are rehomed at a better rate than ever and they're great pets to have. Like,
now, the last time I was at Shelburne Park on Saturday, it was great. It was buzzing.
When Shelburne Park is busy, the problem is that's a handful of times a year. And Shelburne Park is... All the other race courses are really struggling
by and
large.
That's the thing. I mean, if you go to Shelburne on Saturday night and it's buzzing, yeah, that's great. But the rest of it... Just think... I'm not going to... We'll talk about this again because we want to talk about the Arc, but... I think that maybe one of the things people have an issue with is this is always just sorted. It's an increase this year. Yeah. Horses are sorted. Greyhounds are sorted. And it's just a given. And maybe things in life should not be a given. And you really need to work hard and you need to articulate. And a lot of people did, and you did yesterday, and I think another one of the callers did articulate that this is worth over 2 billion to the Irish economy, employs 30,000 people. This is horse racing we're talking about. There's a huge social aspect to it. Aidan O'Brien, William Mullins are the best in the world at this. So these are all reasons why the Department of Agriculture is investing in horse racing. Greyhound racing, I think, is a different argument and a difficult argument, a more difficult argument. But it's up to the people in greyhound racing to get in front of that and say, these are the reasons why we believe greyhound racing is a viable industry in Ireland. Because it just seems to be the PR is that these sports are just taken care of by the state and other sports are excluded.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Like, and, you know, the money wagered on football versus dog racing is, I mean, there's no comparison yet. Football's not getting any of this fund.
So I think they could all get it. I don't think anybody would have an issue if horse racing, greyhound racing were supported as industries that are very much rural based and support jobs and all that kind of thing. If other industries, sporting industries, were also supported.
It would, the
fund. And we plenty of money, the 14 billion or what was it from Apple? Plenty of money in this country. And not to support other sports in comparison to the way certain sports are being protected and supported is unfair.
Yeah, and like I engaged in a bit of whataboutry yesterday as well. Like, you know, the budget was it prompted a lot of debate. But the Greyhound and Horse Greyhound Fund was brought in by Charlie McCreevy at the was it 2000 and
early 2000
2001 maybe, or give or take. And like Charlie Haughey's tax exemption, which. A lot of things with Charlie Haughey, like you could kind of laud them on one level, but you could look at them kind of cynically in another, because Charlie loved horses and he had a few mares. Now, it revolutionised racing that you stallions here were...
Well, it created an industry. It created a breeding industry in this country, which is world-renowned, and the reputation is all around the world. I mean, I was at the Breeders' Cup and Aidan O'Brien successful there. Coomer is a great business. And he was also great for artists. He was great for tax exemptions on artistry and all
the
that
IFSC
kind of thing.
And
also old age pensioners and all that. It's not about like revisioning Charlie Haughey. I suppose the point around this is, and especially with all the documentaries that we've seen around greyhound racing and horse racing, is that other sports, other Olympians, for example, soccer, which is the biggest participatory sport in the country, they want to feel that they're getting their fair share. That's the issue more for me than almost what the horse racing, greyhound racing are getting.
Yeah, I should explain this a bit better. Charlie Singh revolutionised racing and it was essentially an unfair advantage, and it was gone after, you know, in recent years it was gone, but by that stage racing had really taken off in Ireland. But this is my point. At the start of the century, people bet in the betting shop. And if they bet in the betting shop, they bet on the dogs or they bet on the horses, essentially. That was this, with a bid on sport, and that was increasing. But you went to the betting shop to have a bet on the horses. That's what you did for time immemorial, or you bet on the dogs. that's not the case anymore. The part of the pie that greyhound racing and to a lesser extent racing has is massively shrunk. People now want to bet on Man United against Liverpool, or they want to bet on, say, a game that's on TV, and they'll do a bet builder. They want to bet in running. They want to bet on things that weren't even conceivable a few years ago. They don't want to bet on Crayford. And there's no dog track left in London. There's one dog track left in Dublin, which is Harold's Cross. There's only one racetrack, one horse racing track in Dublin. And racing is heavily reliant on the fund, but I do feel racing gives an awful lot back to society, particularly in rural Ireland. I do feel that greyhound racing is not even remotely comparable.
Okay, we'll continue the debate. So the Arc de Triomphe, 3:20 on Sunday at Longchamp, the European Champions League final, I would call it.
Absolutely, and to butt in very briefly on this, the Paris Mutuel and the monopoly of the tote in France ensures that British racing, French racing is on a firm financial footing. We don't have that over here. So that's why French racing has the good purses and the good pots and the good horses, because everyone bets there on the tote or in their little, what's the name of the shop where the, where you can have a bet, like the, it's kind of like a little smoky kind of tavern.
I haven't been to French racing, so I don't know.
But it's all on the Paris Mutuel anyway. And you'll see them spotted around Paris and various places. You can go in and have your bet. I'll think for it.
This is the Champions League final of flat racing, folks. This is it. This is the European Championship, as I call it. Hard to win. See the stars, Sindar, John Ox, LeFound, and Dylan Thomas for Aidan O'Brien in previous years. But it's hard to win. It's not like an Aidan O'Brien bounty. He's only won it a couple of times. There's three Irish horses in the race, 16 runners. The draw matters at Longchamp. Generally, a low draw is better. The ground conditions, very soft is the French description, but good to soft more, I suppose, the English-Irish description. But rain is forecast on Sunday at Longchamp. A mile and a half, same trip as the Irish Derby, same trip as the Epsom Derby. And we got three Irish-trained runners. The first one, Los Angeles, Johnny, won the Irish Derby. Probably was wanting a strong gallop this Sunday. Hasn't sparkled maybe with a turn of foot like other outstanding horses, beaten six lengths at Epsom, then behind Shin Emperor in the Champion Stakes. Los Angeles, Ryan Moore rides.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule him out on the basis that, as you say, JD, it's softish ground, and he's a bit of a grinder. He stays on. He's like Camelot is probably never going to get a proper superstar, but this fella is good, and he was one of the first horses I saw in Ballydoyle when I went. They did a kind of a thing for the press day for the Derby, and it was all about City of Troy, but I saw him. He's a very, very good looking horse and a bit of Camelot in him as well, and his form is rock solid. I think we saw the last day at Leopardstown he has some limitations in races like that, but he is the number one hope for the operation in the race. I think that's quite important as well, the way the race will be run. And I wouldn't rule him out. I'd be surprised if he won, but I think he'll run well.
The other one is continuous. A question with this colt, if he's good enough. Fifth last year in the race after winning the St. Ledger at Doncaster, Aidan O'Brien hoping he's a better horse now as a four-year-old. But Ryan Moore rides Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a negative. Like, if he hadn't run the last day, I feel continues to be a lot shorter in the betting. He ran very well in the race last year, and when he won at the Curra two runs back, that was over about a mile and two. I thought that was a very good effort considering three runs back, considering that two runs back either when he won on the 70th of August, he beat Trusher Instinct, who's not a star, but for a mile and two race he did very well that day. Problem was he was beaten in a somewhat muddling race last year at Longchamp, but like, to be honest, Christophe Soumillon's riding him. He's 25-1. Christophe Soumillon, there isn't a better jockey around Longchamp. And he was, when he ran in the race last year, JD, he was fifth behind, say, Ace Impact, Westover, Onesto. Bay Bridge was sixth. This renewal is definitely, for me anyways, no better. It's probably a little bit weaker, actually.
I think it's better.
Andrea Favre has talked
maybe
about this.
Maybe more competitive, maybe, is
maybe more competitive.
Or open.
I don't know. I mean, it's open, but I don't think there's a real star in it. But
yeah.
I would definitely, I mean, I did say on this show a while back that if Kyprios ran, I felt he'd a good chance to race. They haven't gone with him, but continuous, I'm going to have a small few quid in each way at that price.
Okay. Now, I'll refer to the other Irish-trained horse, Joseph O'Brien, who's won a Melbourne Cup a couple of times, folks. So Joseph can train, absolutely. The closest horse to Ace Impact in Ace Impact's career. Ace Impact won this last year and hasn't run since. So Alriff, a national stakes winner over 7 furlongs as a two-year-old, but his stamina in the pedigree, second behind City of Troy in the Eclipse this year, comes off a break. Ground does not appear to be an issue. He's four, he's older, he's wiser. To me, he's each way.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a great preview on the Racing TV website. I think Andy Stevens did it. And of course, through all the runners, he's quite sweet in Alriff, and he makes a very strong case for him. He never had run over a mile and a half until the German Derby the last day. or that Group 1 in Germany, and he bolted up. Now, I don't know what that form was like, but it was the first time he tried a mile and a half. He's very lightly raised for his age. Nine is a perfect draw. And Yutake Take, who was supposed to ride Shin Emperor, and who actually rode Deep Ink back in the day, which is an arc I remember very favourably. I think he's in his mid-50s now, but he's come over to Joseph's to ride the horse. Fascinating runner.
Now, Shin Emperor, you were raving about after the Irish Champion Stakes, in which he was a fast finishing third. He is a Japanese-trained horse, never been a Japanese-trained winner of the arc. Is he your main selection then? I mean, I know continuously you want to have a nibble on, but is Shin Emperor the main one?
Yeah, I made a strong case for him in this race before the Champion Stakes and in the Champion Stakes itself. His brother Sotsaf, his full brother, actually won the arc. What's one of the things to take into account on arc day, which is quite fascinating, is the pari mutuel, and that's what the betting is called in France, even the betting shops. But if you have a massive Japanese raider, which Deep Impact was, the patriotism of the Asian gamblers, or certainly the Japanese gamblers at times, is just crazy stuff. So Deep Impact was sent off way too short on the pari mutuel. Now, maybe he should have won the race, but the odds were totally warped, such that Ray Link, who won the race, was like 27-1. How Shin Emperor will be priced here versus Al Rifa is interesting, because you've a well-known Japanese jockey against the Japanese contender in the race. But I loved his prep at Leopardstown for a horse who probably wants a mile and a half. And you saw his run in the Japan Derby. He just stayed from in a messy race, really stayed on well. Then he dropped back to a mile and two on good ground at Leopardstown. And when they quickened, he travelled very well, but I was like, he's not going to be able to quicken with them. And he wasn't quite able to quicken, but he went down by a length economics, and he was running against two very, very good mile and two horse ahead of him, and he was staying on strongly. And he was brought over to France maybe a month prior to Champion Stakes to kind of like acclimatise and eat the French oats and all of that. I don't see a single negative. I have to say, I know nothing about the jockey.
But the cut in the ground, is that a negative?
Yeah, so that's not
unproven.
That's not proven, but his brother completely handled it. And I'd be amazed if that were a problem. Like, if it were bottomless, like, maybe. But they've said all along that they don't think that'll be a problem. And Sotsas, his brother, and I think the dam as well, who's by Galileo, handled it. It wouldn't be an issue at all for me. Now, in fact, it might even help.
The English runner that probably has the best chance is Blue Stocking. Grand, not an issue for her. She does act on cut, course and distance winner last time out in the Group 1 Prix Vermeil. Second to the Irish Oaks last year, second in the King George at Ascot, which suggests he's improving as a four-year-old, and each-way chance supplemented for the race as well. And a couple of the French horses, Luc de Vega, only four starts, drawn in the middle, good winner of the French Derby, but beaten over the course and distance last time out, needs to bounce back. The winner of that race the last time was Sosie. Andre Fab looks very strong, each way bet to nothing for 5-1, only three, but third in the French Derby, staying on, has now won twice over the course and distance at Longchamp, overturning form with Luc de Vega. More improvement possible and interesting. So you have the French angle, Blue Stocking supplemented, Los Angeles for Ireland, Al Rifa for Ireland, and Shin Emperor from Japan. Is there anything else at a price? Anything else we're forgetting here?
You're throwing a lot at me there, JD. The one thing we should say is, like, the lack of British runners is astounding, and it's been an appalling year in the British Group 1 races over anything other than a mile for British horses. And considering Dubawi and Frankel have such an influence over there, it kind of makes no sense that there are so few middle distance horses. Blue Stocking, maybe the best of them. You know, she's another Camelot 4-year-old.
You have Sunway in there as well,
yeah,
an outsider.
You know, another, I suppose, British runner, albeit Dev Minucia training, has a chance, actually. You know, ran very well behind Jan Brugel. That was a sort of a messy renewal of the ledger. We'll stay on well. If there's a big enough field here on softish
fast ground, pace.
So, yeah, this horse...
You'll need to get home, won't you, in this?
You will need to get home. And they are can throw up some strange results. I don't know exactly what the forecast is, but it will be softish ground anyway.
Yeah.
This horse stays, and, you know, you get some mad results in this race at times. Just behind Los Angeles in the Irish Derby, and one of them is, what, 10-1? One of them is 40s. 40s with William Hill. So Sunway has a chance. The other horse, as you mentioned, Andre Favre has a great record in the race. He hasn't a great record in the last sort of 15-odd years. Luc de Vega, for me, I don't know about stamina for this horse. Just the last year behind Sosie, he made the running. To me, he didn't look like he really stayed.
I prefer Sosie as well.
Yeah, I think in terms of you don't really want a horse who has stamina doubts in this race. And that's definitely the case for me. And Sosie, who is by Sea the Stars, no surprise that the mile and a half works well, and no surprise either, there isn't a lot between them in the betting. But I did feel it was interesting, Andre Favre, like, who used to use the Pre Niel as his prep for the race. He did kind of question how good the 3-year old form is, which leads me to wonder. And he's one of the most fascinating people in racing, Andy Farrell. I've never met him, but like, he's a man of very few words and clearly a bit of a genius with horses. It's quite interesting. I'm reading into that he may think these aren't. It's one of those, what was that line? If you have 3 Derby horses, you have none.
If Willie Mullins is 10 in the bumper, he doesn't have the one.
Yeah, maybe there's something to that.
Okay, make Matt a double J. Are you going for something in the arc, Johnny, or something elsewhere?
Shane Emperor for the Land of the Rising Sun. I love him, but like, watch this race. And as I said, if you want to see a good preview, the racing TV preview is brilliant and it'll get you jiggy for the race, but so much continuous as well, some way. Much Shane Emperor for the Japanese, but Savor and continuous under C. Sumiyon.
I'm going against you in the arc, Johnny, for the free tire tip. Al Riffa, 11 to 1 shot each way. I think 4-year old, older, wiser. I think he's been given a break and I feel like he'll get the trip.
He's had one go at a mile and a half, one go, and he's won easy.
Yeah. Al Riffa, Joseph O'Brien to bring home the bacon for Ireland.
Love this race, by the way. I have to say, I've been there. It's a brilliant weekend. Love it when if you're in Tipperary on Sunday, or if you're in Killarney on Sunday, wherever you are, take in the arc.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Sunday's action at Tipperary and all the other action on Saturday as well, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.